And so here is that parable from Luke 16. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Luke 16:19-31. From this story, we learn some interesting facts about this place called hell, the place that those who reject Christ will end up in the afterlife. 1. Hell is a real, literal place. In hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes to paradise, where he saw Lazarus. If hell were a figment of the imagination, or a state of mind, or right here on this earth, why would he lift up his eyes to see it? Secondly, hell is a place of darkness. Jesus will command the executioners of God's judgment to cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13. Still, there is another meaning to darkness. In Scripture, by light we understand hope, and so by darkness we understand hopelessness. Hell is a place of absolute hopelessness. It offers not even the hope of death or annihilation. It is forever black, forever dark, forever hopeless. Jude 13. Third, hell is a place of consciousness and memory. The rich man knew where he was. He remembered he had brothers back home. He remembered Lazarus the beggar. And it is this faculty of memory and consciousness that will drive hell's residents insane. They will recall every waking moment, the numerous opportunities they were given to accept Christ, and every memory will be like a stab in the heart. They will realize how frivolous their excuses were for rejecting Christ. They will realize how they allowed friends to keep them away from Christ, and would be doubly troubled to find out, to discover, that those very friends were later saved. And now, in hell, those memories will serve only to compound their plight. Today, almost 2,000 years since the story was told, the rich man is still in hell, still in darkness, still in torment, still begging for mercy, still asking for water, still pleading for the salvation of others, still frustrated at his foolish decision. And because of memory and consciousness, he has all eternity left to regret his folly. 4. Hell is a place of unsatisfied, lustful longing. We hear the man begging the venerated Abraham in heaven to send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Luke 16:24. Evidently, hell is hot, and there is not a drop of water around. Jesus said, "It is the place where the fire is not quenched and where the worm does not die." The man wanted water but could not find any. These days, people steal, kill, and destroy to satisfy their cravings. Those sent to hell will arrive there with their longings, but by no means will be able to quench those lusts. Imagine the torment. Those who enter hell do so with all the baggage, burdens, lusts, passions, and cravings that they carried in this life, but with no means of satisfying those desires or alleviating their addictions and pains. Thus, in hell, the drug addict remains a drug addict, but without any means of satisfying his cravings. The alcoholic will find existence unbearable without beer. The adulterer will not find conditions suitable to fulfill his lust. The thief will find nothing to steal. The hypocrite will find his art commonplace. The serial killer will experience considerable bouts of depression, and his victims, like Dracula, keep coming back. The fearful will continue to exist in fear. Indeed, hell is a place of unimaginable torments arising from the unavailability of resources to rehabilitate sinners and to appease their insatiable cravings. 5. Hell is a place of repentance, but no mercy. The man cried to Abraham to send Lazarus back to earth so that he could warn his brothers lest they also come into this place. People say, facetiously I hope, that they will meet their friends in hell. What they do not realize is that hell is so terrible that even their worst enemies in hell are praying for them not to come there. It is interesting to note Abraham's response to the rich man's request. He said they have the Bible, which is really Moses and the prophets, and if they do not believe them, then even if someone were to go back from the dead, they will still not believe. For proof, how many people today accept the resurrection of Jesus? 6. Hell is a prison from which there is no release. Abraham informed the rich man that even if he wanted to help him out of his misery, he could not, for between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. The Catholics have tried to minimize the dreadfulness of hell by fabricating a measure of hope for the penitent. They created the unbiblical doctrine of purgatory. This is supposed to be an intermediate holding area for souls, a transit point, if you will, from where the lost soul can still be rescued if their family comes up with the necessary prayers and offerings. Remember those sale of indulgences? Others teach annihilationism, a doctrine that says the lost will eventually be burnt to nothingness. But if we take scripture in context, and if the righteous will live forever, then we must conclude that sinners will be in a state of dying forever and ever. 7. Hell is eternal separation from loved ones. Those consigned to hell will never again behold the face of their loved ones. Never again will wayward children behold the face of a mother who prayed for them. Never again will a stubborn and rebellious husband hear the pleas of a concerned wife to let Jesus change his life. They are gone, forever gone. Yet, from the pleas of the rich man, it appears that those in hell prefer the pain of eternal separation to that of having the company of their loved ones. The rich man begged Abraham to find a way to warn his brothers, lest they also come into this place of torment. In his estimation, the pain of eternal separation from his brothers was nothing compared to the suffering of a hellish existence. 8. Hell and heaven are places and states that bring the inequities of this life into balance. Abraham told him, "Remember that you in your lifetime receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and you are tormented." We know life is unfair, but often we as Christians allow the inequities of life to make us lose heart and become bitter, and many people return to a life of worldliness and sin. But if you will be a strong Christian, there are two things you must know and keep in cash memory. One is that life in this world is unfair, and two, that imbalances will be settled at the judgment. In other words, we must always see life in the context, not of time, but of eternity. When we do, it will all make sense. Thus we see that hell is a place of darkness, of insatiable thirst and unquenchable fire, of unimaginable torments, of inexpressible anguish of soul, spirit, and body. It is a place of eternal separation from loved ones, of unanswerable prayers, of unending death. Yes, hell is real. What is worse is that hell is only a temporary prison. Its inmates are there until the day of the great white throne judgment. On that day, hell will surrender all its occupants so that they can stand before the great judge. None of them will have a commuted sentence or receive pardon. This is not going to be a courtroom where defense attorneys come to plead for their clients. These inmates have already been found guilty and they await final sentencing. After the great judge opens the book of life and confirms that their names are missing, they will be cast into the lake of fire where they will burn forever. Then the prison facilities known as hell or Hades will also be dumped into the lake of fire. It will truly be from frying pan into the fire. This place is so terrible that Jesus says we should do whatever it takes, even if that means dismemberment, in order to avoid it. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:43-48. The good news is that no one has to go to hell. God sacrificed his son as a surety for our protection from this place. As Richard C. Halverson observed, what kind of God would send man to hell? Not an uncommon question, but it betrays a caricature of God, not the reality. The God of the Bible does not send anyone to hell. Over hell's gate is a man on the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, whom he sent to prevent people from going there. To get into hell, one must ignore that man, squeeze past him. God had done everything in his power to keep us out of hell. But it would have been immoral of God not to prepare a place for those who refuse to go to heaven. Hell is the final consequence that the cross of Christ intends to stop. To be cut off from one's Creator is to be cut off from the reason for one's creation and existence. The soul in hell says it does not want anything to do with God and abandons itself to an eternity of meaninglessness and despair. As you think of the cross of Christ, see it as God with arms wide open saying, stop, stop here before it is too late.